Hello, happy Monday. I'm doing a recording now in the car, and I have, what am I saying? I'm in between jobs right now, from one job to go to another job, and I will not have time because of my other job. It's going to take forever tonight, and the whole night tonight. So I won't have time to do any recording in the studio, even though I was actually enjoying the bit that I did last week. Just technologically, I get to play with my toys again. But I'm in the car now, and I have several things to say and to respond back to another podcast. I'm starting my car. Hot. It's actually, it has calmed down a whole lot. Is my phone still off? Whew! Yes, the phone's still off. Which means I can continue recording without the interference, especially with this microphone. It picks up all kinds of interference. Anyway, so let's see, what do I want to start with? I want to talk about I always talk about this. My own learning or struggle for the last week, or last month or several months. And you might know that there were times when I was emotionally very tired and disturbed. Not as the happy, cheery, sunshine personality that I usually have for the last few months. Due to many factors, and last week, I think, was the first time, or last 2 weeks, when I did my recording, last week, last week is when I really rediscovered myself again, and there's several layers of things that I want to talk about, so I might get very ADD, but bear with me. The one thing, the key, the core of everything was control. I am a bit of a control freak, if you don't know me yet. You all know, those people who know me know that I'm some kind of a control freak, and it's very hard for me to let go of control. I know that it's a weakness because it has bothered me. It has bothered other people because I just won't be able to let go of my control. So I just discovered, and it's very interesting, is everything was encrusted with this sort of generosity and kindness, to the point where it really shielded me from seeing it was actually coming from a very selfish, controlling part of me. And I was trying to fix something that wasn't the problem, and therefore I wasn't fixing anything. I hope that makes sense. I'm talking about a few other things, but among one of them that is very prominent was my lack of control. Sometimes scare me so much that I have to find ways of controlling the situation, either by provoking, let's say friendship, for instance. You need a true good bit of friendship is very hard to find, and when you find the friendship, it requires a lot of trust. And as any kind of relationship, really. But I'm merely talking about friendship, because Michael and I, we've been spending a lot of time talking over the phone about friendships. I was sort of having my own personal emotional thing that's related to friendship, and she was having her own, and we find ourselves being so similar that we talk about it all the time. But we couldn't seem to really grasp what was the cause of all the problems. And finally, when I was talking to her one night, I realized, oh my gosh, I just realized that I haven't really been trustful of my friend. A friend of mine who told me that, you know, our friendship is special and all that. I'm just going to stop here. I hope the police won't come and get me or something. I'm going to turn the engine off before I get off to prepare for my next job. What was I saying? trust. I just realized that I haven't been trusting. And so, how can I call myself a good friend when I don't trust the person? So, that took care of that. That took care of my constant fear and constant concern. I know I've talked about it. I've blocked more than I've talked about it because I just, you know, couldn't. I don't want to talk about it because I couldn't put my thoughts together in a recording. I can do it much better when I just write it down. Plus, I wasn't even writing about the specific issue. I was pretty much writing about my emotional state at that time. So, So, lack of trust, one. And where does the lack of trust come into the picture now? The lack of trust comes in when why do I not trust? When you are trusting somebody, you let go of control because you let go of what you can't control, or even you might be able to control, but you let go of it because you trust that the other person is going to contribute as much, and therefore you give up some form of control. And it was very difficult for me to do. And without me realizing too much about it, I really finally came to realize that it actually was the cause of it. The inability for me to trust came from my inability to let go of my control. I'm trying to control the situation, and therefore I don't want to trust it because, you know, I want to control the situation. I want to constantly be involved and so that I can, you know, fix things. Why did I say that it's encrusted with compassion and kindness? Say somebody was hurt, a dear friend of mine was hurt, and I was trying to take care of him or her by controlling the situation by trying to fix it. If I try to fix it, if I can fix it, means I control the situation and the person's pain could be lessened or taken away, which is actually impossible because it's another person's feeling. I cannot possibly do anything to change that at all. It may make the other person feel more comforted, but I don't think that's going to lessen the pain the person already is suffering from. So it was encrusted with this compassion. You know, I'm trying to help this person. I'm trying to be compassionate. I'm trying to let the person know. Well, yeah. I'm trying to control pretty much to make things better for the other person. But sometimes I just cannot have that sort of control. And I think it makes me feel better that I am contributing something to the situation more than it does the other person. So that's the reason why I thought. And of course it was bugging me. And the more you think that you are helping somebody, the more arrogant you become. And less humble you are, and therefore your head would start to, you know, get bigger and then blow up. Which is pretty much what happened to me. I was so caring. I mean, I care. I mean, I really do care. But instead of caring it in the proper way, which is to be there when he needs me and step back when he needs space, I was in front of the face waving, look at me, all the time. So it becomes, the attention becomes me, because I am seeking the control, and therefore the focus became me. And how unfortunate and how sad and how bad it is to be doing that to somebody that's already hurting. So, am I guilty? Yes. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I at least discovered what was bothering me, really. Which, I'm trying to make this an issue of the friendship of me and my friend, but it really honestly is just about me, mostly. So I just started seeing that, and I think it was a big revelation for me. I'm constantly trying to analyze situation. It's part of my control freakishness, you know? I try to analyze things, I try to fix things. And it's good sometimes, but when I become too much of a control freak, then it loses the positive quality of that sort of trying to find the problem and solve it. So that was one thing that is in my head. And the moment, you would think that the moment you give up control, when you surrender, when you start trusting, which means you open up your heart, you trust your friend. I'm not saying that I'm doing that to everyone. I cannot do that to everyone. In fact, I'm very sure that I cannot do that to most people. Somebody who means so much to me, I couldn't even really honestly open my trust to this friend of mine. How can you expect me to open up to anybody? So, yeah. So, trust is the thing, I think. Control, ultimately. And that's something I learned myself this week. Well, last week. And I'm very glad that I did. I was listening to Nick Thomas. I'm going to talk about Nick Thomas a bit. In general, I mean, I'm not going to turn this entirely into the response of from Nick, or to Nick. But I think my podcast is my sharing of my thought process when I am happy and when I'm sad. And you get both. I'm typically mostly a cheerful person, and therefore you get most of the fun stuff. Plus, when I'm down and when I am not happy, I'm just unable to, you know, I just don't feel like doing a recording. So, let me check on the time. Did I hit record? Yes, I did. And, Nick Thomas. He was talking about being too pretty. Painting just the good and not the bad. I totally, completely agree with that. People who live their lives so perfectly on the outside, who appear to not have any flaws at all in their lives, can be annoying. I totally agree with him on that part. However, if that is what's bothering you, you might want to consider what is the cause of that. Because for me, oftentimes, I have my own... I'm drinking. I have my own baggage that I bring into a situation. The similar situation, you can have a different outlook and outcome when you come into that situation with a different baggage that you bring in. For me, going back to the whole friendship thing, my baggage was I was hurt when I opened up my heart to a very good, deep friendship when I was about 17 years old. And the moment it just looked like this. If I felt like I was invited to this friendship to be a close bonded friendship, and when I don't even think about that, you know, it's like friends are friends, you know, they all same level and there's no special friend. And once the invitation was being sent to me, I was like, oh my gosh, you can actually go deeper with another friend, with like one special friend, and you I realized that, oh my gosh, that's possible. And so I opened up my heart to accept that friendship. Right at that moment, the invitation was taken back. And because of that baggage, I go into I'm not talking about, you know, regular friends. I'm talking about the special, what some people call best friends, you know, somebody that you can share a lot of things with and all that. I cannot do that. That's why is it an excuse? I think it is, because it's an excuse, but it's an understandable excuse, if that makes sense. Because I was hurt once, and then I'm very defensive right now, and I don't feel like I can control it. Because I'm hurt, I want to try to control it, and by trying to control it, I'm actually sabotaging the friendship. So baggage that you bring into. Why do you feel annoyed, or you feel like somebody is judging you when you hear good things about other people? Is it because of your own baggage that you think so? Or is it something else? I'm not sure. And specifically to Nick Thomas is that do people tell you that you are disgusting, you are awful, and why do you keep saying that? Does your own background, this is, you know, questions back to Nick, because, you know, I know he listens, or, and this applies to everyone really, and he's talking about specifically about his choices of talking a lot about sex. When you talk about sex on your shows, that's completely fine, Nick Thomas. It is entirely fine. What he's trying to do is, for the last week, he's been trying to change, because I said something on my podcast that, and I know he listens to my show and then he pays a lot of attention to what I have to say. But Nick, I am just like you. I'm no better, I'm no worse than you. I'm as human as you are. I get angry, I get horny, I get happy, I get sappy, I get crappy, I get shitty, just like you. But why do people tell you that you are an awful person because you talk too much about sex? I wonder. Because that's what you seem to be implying, that people do that. Or is it in your head? And yes, go ahead and talk as much sex as you want to. It sometimes bore me because... It sometimes bores me because I have... It's like the same thing. You're talking about the same thing over and over again. If it's new adventure and it's slightly different and more exciting to me, then that's fine. However, you're not doing the show for me, Nick Thomas. You're doing the show for yourself and doing the show for your listeners in general. Yourself first. Would you be doing this show if no one is listening? Ask yourself that question. If you think that you'll still be doing a show without anyone listening, then you're doing the show for yourself. I do most of the shows for myself while I put my learning process and all that in there, or sometimes not quite learning process. And it sometimes, I know human beings connect by experience. And so I know if I put my experience out there, some other people would be able to identify. And if I want to be more generous and think bigger, is yes, I want to share my experience, stuff that I've gone through. If you don't have to go through that, or even if you are going through that, even if you have to go through that, you know that you're not alone. I'm specifically talking about being gay and being in Asia and being Asian and Catholic and all that. And so... Nick, do the show for yourself. Do the show for your listeners. Don't do the show for me. Don't do the show for John Ong. Because who knows? I may stop listening. But no, I am very intrigued by this Nick Thomas person, podcast peer. because there's so much of him that I know it's there that he's not talking about. He shared a whole lot this week, but he's changing the show. The stuff that he talked about for the last few, last couple of shows, because he was so self-conscious about me talking about him talking too much about sex, that he's sort of changing his style of the show. And I don't want you to do that unless that's consciously what you want to do. I do appreciate it and actually enjoy a whole lot of the stuff that you're talking to us about. Especially how you grew up being different and therefore you start to hide in your own bedroom. And possibly why that's when you think a lot more about sex. And I like stuff like that. But don't do it for me. If I want that answer, I will ask you. I will have you come on my show, and I will, hey, come on my show. I'll have you come on my show, and I'll ask you those questions. But, Nick, I really want to, I think it would be nice if we can just chat. You heard my shows. I don't really, do I ask questions? Like just ask questions, and you answer, and then I ask questions, you answer? I thought I usually just carry on a conversation, but I'm a very curious conversationalist. So I actually do ask questions in between, and I do that to my regular conversation outside of podcasting. I ask questions, and because I want to understand, and I will ask questions. So if you're still up for it, I would like to find the time to actually chat to Nick, because, and I don't have set questions that I want to ask. That's why I cannot send you a list of questions, Nick Thomas. He was asking me, it might be more comfortable if I send him a list of questions and he answered the question on his own shows or podcasts. I don't really have any, problem by calling it a show, because, you know, it even though it's mostly reality based, but it's, for me, it's not, I think it's being presented as a form of a show. Even though it's mostly real. Mostly meaning when I'm not doing crazy, funky stuff. Like, ugly whore face. And, what am I saying? Nick Thomas, really. I want you to come on my show and we'll talk. We'll just chat, you know? And I don't know But I really like that part of you when you talk about those things. But don't do it for me, Nick. Do it for yourself. If you feel uncomfortable, if you're feeling awkward doing that, then don't do it. Because what you may find is the awkwardness, the whole thing. You were at the end of the last show, you were actually kind of like complaining about, why can't I just talk about my sex all the time? You know, that's what happens in my life. Yes, do talk about it. Do talk about it. Why change your own shows? Then, but at the same time, don't blame other people for doing what they're doing. Don't criticize. Don't judge other people. Do you feel judged? Therefore, you want to judge? I wonder. Because people might not be comfortable talking in graphic detail of what they have done sexually. Due to, I don't know, cultural background or whatever. But I just want you to know, however, if I don't talk about sex, doesn't mean that I think less of you when you talk about sex. I know sex is normal, and I think I addressed that in one of my comments, and I think Nick Thomas also misunderstood part of my explanation there, is that he said that he was calling people, prudish or something, If he thought that, you know, talking about sex is something that you do because gay people have sex all the time, that I don't know how true that is, because, you know, I do know gay men who do not have sex. I mean, they do, but, you know, not as much as one might think when you think about a young, fresh, horny gay man. But I lost my train of thought there, talking about hot, fresh, young gay man. No, yeah. And he was talking about porn. And I don't try to hide that from my listeners. I think people who actually listen closely do know that I have my own. I just don't talk about it because I, when it comes to sex, it involves another person, right? Unless it's self-sex, self-pleasure. When it comes to sex, it involves another person. And when it involves another person, I don't feel comfortable talking about it because unless that person is with me talking about it, otherwise I don't want to drag the person in the situation or in this podcast. And so, yes, do I like sex? Yes. Do I get horny? Yes. Do I talk about it like Nick Thomas, or do I choose to talk about it that much? No. And that's my personal choice. And I do what I like, what I'm comfortable with, and you do what you're comfortable with, Nick Thomas. I think you should do what you want. You don't have to feel like you have to conform to a certain show or whatever to get something, like get listenership or what? I mean, what are you concerned about? You talk about that all the time. You don't have many listeners. You're not on the top 100 or whatever on iTunes, which I never checked. I don't even know if I'm on there. But who cares? I don't really care. I think I used to, but I don't know. I never checked for a long time. I don't really care. It doesn't do anything, I don't think. Unless you're, you know, a personal journal is very different. It's a new form of podcast. It's a new form of audio entertainment, really. Do you call it entertainment? Yes, I think I do. Or learning, by learning human behavior. It's a new form of audio entertainment, and therefore it has to, and that's why when we actually do have a podcamp here in here or anywhere, I would really want to do a session and just talking about social podcasters. And Peter coined that term. I first heard from Peter from ohmypod.net that social podcasters, and we're all social podcasters. I think people who do podcasts not for money, but to get sort of like a creative outlet, and then also at the same time make friends, meet people, other podcasters or listeners, and those are social podcasters, I think. And when you do that, it's a new category that because it's so personal, it is like getting to know the person or knowing somebody. When you know somebody in your real life, some people you can just get, some people you just do not get. Some people, that's how you choose friends. You don't just, you know, become friends with anybody, because you become friends with people that you can click with. Same thing with personal journal podcast. It's like because it's a part of that human. It's a part of that person. You get a slice of that person's life, personality, perception, struggles, or, you know, achievements or whatever. And therefore, it's a slice of that person. So it's just like another person. You sometimes get that person and sometimes you don't. And therefore, you have to go into this game knowing that people may not like you. And I know Nick talked about my being sweet and, you know, somebody who has soul. And it was very sweet. I really appreciate that. But I think I'm no better than you. I am just like you. And I'm just showing a different side of myself. You show that less. You show the sexual part more because you're more comfortable doing that. I am less comfortable doing that, and therefore I'm not doing it. So, and it's just like another person. You just have to let the listeners decide. You do what you feel is right for you, and then let the listeners decide whether or not they want to stay subscribed. You cannot control somebody. And I think it's very easy because you start to grow this group of friends that is from your podcast. And sometimes when they go or stop listening, you feel personally hurt or personally responsible if you stop listening. Let's say if I stop listening to Nick Thomas, because of how I may actually feel, because yeah, there are some, at some point, not right now, at one point I felt, and I talked to this same thing about with Adam from whatever the other one. Oh, this boy, all right. I don't think he's just kind of doing the show whenever he feels like it, which is perfectly fine, I think. You feel like you have to listen to somebody because it is your chore now, it is your responsibility because you became friends, kind of. And therefore you feel, you don't, it's like out of necessity, or yeah, you out of kindness that you listen to somebody's podcast. That's completely, totally, utterly not the way it's supposed to be, I think. You should just listen to somebody because you want to listen to that somebody. Like, I listen to Nick Thomas because his personality and his struggle intrigues me. At this moment, you know, with his friend Jeremy, with financial things, financial responsibility, he talked about that show too. I think that's a good thing to bring up. It's a good thing to work on. I think people are led by this too commercial world or environment to easily neglect financial responsibility, and myself included, you know. But I am very good, I have no debt, I'm very proud of that. Well, of course I do have the biggest debt, it would be the house mortgage, but you know, I don't have credit card debts and all that. And so what was I talking about? Because I'm getting hot in this car, I should go upstairs now. I should wrap this up also. And oh, I was pooping yesterday. not yesterday. The other day, I was actually on the toilet. Really awful, I'm sorry. Now, I don't do podcasts when I'm toileting, when I'm potting, when I'm pooping. But I was talking to... I was talking to Peter and Pinoy Boy on the phone. And they know that I was on the potty. But I actually... And we were testing out my Jawbone... Jawbone headset, Bluetooth headset. Oh my gosh, it's bright. So, I don't have my hair. Oh, yeah, and I was gonna. No, I'm forgetting things because there's something to do with responding. Oh, yeah. Do I not talk about sex because I want to take. I want to make my listener feel like I'm better? No! Nick Thomas, no! I think you really got that part wrong. I'm not trying to... Why is it better when you're not sexual? I don't really get it. And why is it wrong? Is it because you feel like you're... Or being judged because you're a whore? I call myself a whore all the time. And... If you feel right, if it feels right for you, what the hell? I mean, just do it. You should take care of yourself. I think that's self-responsibility, and you talk about that. But if you're enjoying it, if you're comfortable with it, to me, is just do it. I try very hard not to judge, especially when it comes to something that's a bit deeper. And especially if you don't know the entire scenario or picture or background of somebody. It's very hard to judge. And there's an experience in my life that I was, or my family was being judged by outsiders to the point I wouldn't go into detail because it's in a whole like 1 week of worth of show. But we were wrongly accused of things that we did not do as a family. And And that's why I totally understand what Nick was talking about, the whole feeling about being judged. And people were judging us based on lies and rumors that other people are spreading. And what I learned from my mom is, if you are honest and truthful to yourself, even when other people are criticizing you and looking at you and pointing at you and laughing at you on certain things that they claim that you do, or even just judging on it could be an action that you're doing that action, but you don't know why that person do that. You don't know why Nick Thomas go to whatever the trail, pigeon trail, what trail, turkey trail, whatever that place is to find like to cruise for sex. How can we judge somebody so quickly? I think people are so quickly jumping into judgment, I think. But don't worry about those people who judge, because people who judge easily are the ones that are so afraid of being judged that they will want to jump in and judge you first. Those I really agree that, yeah, some people are really prudish in that way. I'm sure there are things that I still don't know about, maybe that came up from, you know, conflict with other podcasters and all that. But when you put yourself out there, you will get that sort of feedback, that sort of attack sometimes when somebody, you put your, you know, you have to be responsible for what you put out there, Nick Thomas, whether it being sexual or not. You have to be responsible for that, because you know that once you put out there, you will get judgment, because people just like to judge, and you get criticism, and you get lots of things that comes with that. If people don't like, the reason why I don't listen to that is because it gets boring to me. And I'm sure not to other people, but to me sometimes it gets boring because it's the same thing over and over and over again. You really like dick. You really like to suck dick. Blah, blah, blah. And yeah, do I like it? Yes, I do too. But it doesn't... after the 10th time, it's done for me. You know? It's the same thing to me from then on. That's the reason why I skip through the parts. When Archer talks about reality TV, I skip through those parts. And I'm sure Archer skips through... Well, no. I don't really care if you skip through my shows or not, because I just think that it's like a personality. You either get it, you like some part of my personality, you don't like certain parts of my traits, that's fine. Take what you like, skip what you don't like, you can unsubscribe. I don't really care. What I really find intriguing is, I think Nick Thomas is... Do you have a small circle of friends, I wonder? He's almost seeking his listeners to be his peers, to be his friends around him. And maybe he does really have a small group of friends, and seeking assurance is what we usually do. You know, I seek that from my close friends. I seek that from my partner, from Bruce. And it's almost like Nick is doing that with his podcast, is seeking approvals from his listeners. And also if somebody listens to your show and then you get so attached to them, if they leave, you feel like you're personally hurt. I think you have to kind of relearn that. At first, yeah, of course it was like that to me, but I quickly learned that you cannot have that. It's nothing personal. You put out there, if people don't like to listen to you, doesn't mean that they hate you or they do want to judge you. Or even if they do, you shouldn't take that personal. Just let it go. And move on. Do what you like. Let people pick. Give them a set of things that you put out there that you think is a representation of what you want out there. I call it the art. That's why I don't mind calling it a show, because what I'm doing right now is actually trying to put things in a way where hopefully it makes sense to one person. And then you just pick parts that you like. I'm sure people would skip through this because I'm just talking crap, right, to some people. It's mostly a response to Nick Thomas. I actually considered whether or not I should just do that and as a response and send it off to Nick Thomas and have him play on his own show. But, you know, I don't have that much time. Plus, again, then I am really not following the whole part about skipping through things that I don't really care, right? Then I've tried to cater to somebody with the content I think they will like. But anyway, I'm done now. I was supposed to be doing this recording and post it before I go to my work. And I just realized I forgot to bring my cable with me. Crap. So I can't really... take the file out from my iRiver. So I'm not going to be able to do that. But anyway, I will go have a coffee or something, and while I wait for my next job to come up. Time to go to my other job. And in the meantime, Nick Thomas, do what you like. Don't try to conform your podcast to for one person or one group of person or persons, people. I can't speak. I've got this new pair of jeans that I got from Target for really cheap, like $8. I only get like really cheap stuff from Target. And they're sometimes good, actually. Oh my gosh, I see thread falling. I hope it doesn't like fall off or anything. Like, what happens if my jeans broke and there's a big hole in my crotch? That wouldn't be very good, would it? Unless it's for Nick Thomas. And I'm flattered, Nick Thomas. Well, anyway, take care of yourself and be true and be sweet and be kind. And, oh yeah, Nick Thomas talk about no confrontation, like being all nice and all that. Those are personality also, Nick Thomas. Some people just do not like confrontation. They would rather suck it all up and deal, like me. I don't like confrontation. It doesn't mean that I don't challenge certain thoughts, but I just don't like confrontations. I would rather just stay away from it. I don't like drama. I don't want to get into things that would because... Like you said, there's enough people out there doing podcasts that you don't appreciate or fake. Same thing can be applied to there are enough podcasts out there who are causing that sort of stir up and all that. And I just don't feel like getting into it. So you can't judge somebody. If you judge somebody, then you have to know that somebody will judge you the same way. In fact, you should know that somebody will judge you the same way, or not whether or not you judge other people. Anyway, I'm done. And no intro, no outro. Just a bunch of my thought process in a little car in under the sun, very hot. I'm gonna go get a cool, nice smoothie or something. All right, take care. And I will talk to you soon, hopefully. Okay. Don't forget to smile. That's why I promote the smile, because sometimes you have to decide to be happy. I was telling Michael, you have to decide to be happy. And I told this to myself, too, when I was miserable. You have to decide to be happy, and you have to decide that you want to work on that to get it. So sometimes when you're in the pool of misery, you could hardly think straight and never even think about it. But once you're a little bit out of it, sometimes it's good to be reminded that you have to decide to be happy. You have to decide to your life to be a certain kind. You have to know what you want in order to get it. So there you go. And have a good week ahead. And don't forget to smile, okay? When you can. Bye.